This is F. Bron McCash, the Swordmaster for the Highlander television series, and you are listening to Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to Episode 9 of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network. On this show, we cover everything Highlander, including guest interviews, the movies, TV shows, books, games, special events, and even more Highlander-inspired travel. I'm Kevin. I'm one of your Blood of Kings hosts. Now, I'm actually flying solo this week. My co-host Norman couldn't be here. Apparently, Norman is on a special watcher's mission. As of this recording, August 6th, Norman's mission has something to do with following up on a report of new immortals attending the Star Trek 50th anniversary convention at Rio in Las Vegas. So, of course, Norman had to go because he has to confirm these reports so watchers can be assigned to these new immortals. Now, I have a feeling he's probably mixing a little fun with his work here, so I look forward to talking to him about that. But in the meantime, though, I got a great show for you. For our fellow Kingmakers, that's you, our listeners, I'm excited to say that we have a great show today. I'm very proud to announce that we have a special guest, Erin Gill, who took her own Highlander pilgrimage through Scotland. And if you guys remember early, I think episode 0 or 1 or 2, Norman and I had announced on our Blood of Kings Facebook page that there was this special Highlander 4K event that was taking, they were premiering the new restoration of Highlander. It was the 30th anniversary at the Edinburgh Film Festival. But the cool thing about it was that it had a very special guest, and that was Clancy Brown, a.k.a. the Kurgan. And I wanted to let you guys know that we put that out there saying, if anyone had gone to this, please contact us. We want to know. Might interview you. Well, it turned out I met someone that actually did go on this event, and I'm happy to introduce Erin later in the episode here, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to it because it is just a wonderful adventure. She took a 10-day trip to Scotland. I took like a 5-day trip, and we kind of compared notes. We talked about that, and we'll get into more about how I contacted her through Facebook on one of the Highlander pages. I'm really excited for you guys to hear this because it was a very special event, especially for Highlander fans who did not get a chance to go there. Erin's interview will walk you through it, and you'll relive the adventure with her. Before I introduce our special guest, so I want to get you caught up on some current Highlander news. Now, recently posted on the Blood of Kings Facebook page by one of our fans, there is a Highlander convention that has been somewhat confirmed, and they're calling it the 30th anniversary, for December 4th, 3rd and 4th, this year, at 2016, in Lakeland Center, Lakeland, Florida. A company called LashConEvents.com is the ones that is heading this up. And so I went and did some research. I checked the website, and currently scheduled to appear, listed anywhere, Christopher Lambert, Adrian Paul, and F. Bron McCash. And also, there was some word, some mention about the possibility of Adrian Paul's sword experience being there. But I did check Adrian Paul's Facebook page, and he did say that nothing has been confirmed yet. Don't buy any tickets yet for the sword experience. Don't do anything yet, because I think he's still in discussion with the organizer here. And I did want to mention, too, that I went up there myself because this is a Highlander event. We have to share it with you guys. We want you guys to be informed about it. And that's why I really appreciate being notified about this with our fans, Blood of Kings, because you guys are great. You posted this information on our Facebook page. We really, really appreciate it. But we want to let the fans know through this podcast that we know about it and we're interested in it. And I went onto the webpage, and they have some pricing for tickets, ticket information, and they have some VIP kind of special event options as well. If you're not familiar, when you go to conventions now, a lot of conventions have these special VIP packages that you buy, and they're more expensive than the normal ticket price, and they get you access into certain areas, maybe front of the line privileges for autographs and maybe a special event, and they mention a Connor McCloud one and a Duncan McCloud one, but the when I was looking at the options, they look both the same. So I'm waiting for a little bit more information. I'm going to try and contact them myself later again. If this kind of starts coming together, it's something that I personally am interested in. I live in Atlanta, Georgia area, so I can drive down there myself. And of course, my buddy Kyle lives somewhat in the area as well. One of my co-host and co-founders of the Fandom Podcast Network. We're going to give you more information when we find it. I'm not personally investing any money in this, and I recommend you guys to kind of wait for more information until we find out what's going on, and maybe more guests and such. And if anyone have any advice about this show or any suggestions, please contact us here at the Blood of Kings, because we want to know more as well. And we want to make sure that this is going to be a fun event. But if it does come together, which it looks like it does, I'm going to try and make it down there myself. And if I cannot, if you guys do, please let us know, and we'll try and get the event covered as well. So, but it is Highlander news, so I did want to bring it to your attention and let you guys know. Speaking of the Sword Experience, I did want to let you guys know that it has been confirmed. If you check out the Adrian Paul Sword Experience on the internet, look under the swordexperience.com, he has a list of the current events that's going on up there right now. And the most recent one that was listed is going to be at Kamikaze. The convention is going to be at, let's see here. I want to double check I get my dates right here. Kamikaze Convention, October 28th through the 30th. This is the Stan Lee Convention, if I remember correctly. And Adrian Paul does have the event confirmed there. It is on the Sword Experience. And, of course, our friend of Facebook, Mr. Colin Pelton, we can probably contact him as well. You guys can contact him if you want to get any more information. The other dates that are coming up for the Sword Experience, we have Pensacola, Florida, Friday, August 19th at 6 p.m., Manchester, New Hampshire, Saturday, September 17th from 7 to 10 p.m. Bloomington, Minnesota is October 15th or 16th. The time and date have yet to be determined. So stay tuned to the Sword Experience for that. But as I said, Los Angeles, California, at the Los Angeles Convention Center, Kamikaze Convention, October 28th through 30th. The times have yet to be announced when that will happen, but it has definitely been confirmed. And some people have been kind of wondering, like, what is the cost? What do you get out of this? You know, and there's been some wonderful fans who have talked about it on Blood of Kings. But I did want to mention for this particular event at Kamikaze, there is some ticket prices they mentioned here. And I think some of these are around the same when you go to other sort of experiences. But I want to specifically talk about what you get or what your options are for when you visit the Sword Experience here at Kamikaze. Because I know Norman was talking about it, and he's going to be I think he's going. So I'm going to talk to him more about that when he gets back from his watches assignment in Las Vegas. But I expect to see Norman here. Let's talk about the ticket prices. For $215, this is for the early Sword Experience, an early bird admission. You probably get a little bit more out of it. You get in early. For $190, you get the regular Sword Experience. And if you just want to go watch the event, there's a $50 spectator ticket. For the Sword Experience itself, they give little details on what you get out of the price that you're paying for. First of all, it says here the ticket details for the Kamikaze Sword Experience are as followed. You get one 2.5-3 hour Sword Experience. You get one 8x10 signed Highlander photo of your choice. One personal posed photo with Adrian. One Adrian Paul journal, which includes photos. One unique photo certification with your name and signed by Adrian Paul. And photos and videos of the event are taken by the Sword Experience staff. There are some restrictions. No photos or videos are allowed during the Sword Experience event yourself. You must be 18 years or older. 15 to 18-year-olds can participate with parental consent. And again, photos taken by the Sword Experience staff will be sent and posted after the event for participants to download. So please check that out. Please check out thesoarexperience.com for the most updated information. From what we've seen from some of the fans that have done this, it's a wonderful experience for being part of the Highlander experience. And I guess the practice sword that you get, if I remember correctly, it doesn't say here specifically, but you do get to keep that sword. I wonder if Adrian Paul gets to sign it. If someone on Blood of Kings can confirm that, would be really nice to know. Also want to let you guys know that coming up for us personally, for myself and for my co-host and co-founder, Kyle Wagner, the Fandom Podcast Network guys, we're going to be at Dragon Con in Atlanta, September 2nd through the 5th. That is Labor Day weekend. Dragon Con is always Labor Day weekend. And as we had talked about in a previous episode of Blood of Kings, it is the premier convention if you love costuming and seeing some of the best costumes you will ever see. Kyle and I are going to be there in person. We're going to be doing a little, we're going to schedule a little meetup. So we can meet up with some of the fans and listeners. So please stay tuned for that. Last but not least, before we get into the interview segment, the Highlander 4K cut of the Blu-ray will be out in the United States on September 27th. And if anyone's interested, my birthday is September 15th. So if you're looking for a birthday gift, that would be a great thing to do. All right, next segment is our interview with the wonderful Erin Gill as she recounts her story and her adventure in the Highlands of Scotland. During the last two Blood of Kings episodes, I got to share my personal journey with you as I recounted my trip through Scotland and several Highlander movie and TV show filming locations. Today's special guest is my friend Erin Gill, who also recently took a Highlander pilgrimage through Scotland and the UK. Erin will talk about her many travel destinations as she visited the Highlander locations that I did not. I will also talk to Erin about a very special event she attended, the Highlander 4K movie premiere at the Edinburgh Film Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland, with special guest Clancy Brown, a.k.a. The Kurgan, whom she got to meet personally. Hello, Erin. Welcome to the Blood of Kings podcast. How are you?
Thanks, Kevin. I'm good. Yeah, it's sitting here in sunny London.
Sunny London. You're still on your holiday. This has been a long one, hasn't it?
Yes. It seems to be going forever. But yes, we've got about another 3 weeks in London. Then I head back to hopefully sunny Australia and bypass winter.
And where in Australia do you call home?
Melbourne.
Nice.
Down south.
Well, I thought we'd tell the Highlander fans out there listening how you and I actually came in contact. I was getting ready for my trip to the UK. I had a planned trip to Ireland, Scotland, and London. And I was looking at several of the Highlander Facebook fan pages that I am part of, as well as you. And I saw you posting, I want to say, was it Highlander Forever? Was it one that you posted in?
No, it's Highlander Heart.
Highlander Heart. That's right.
Yeah, that's it.
You had posted some pictures of, now keep in mind, this is about 2 weeks before I was taking off. You had done your trip. You posted some great Highlander pictures, including the 4K event and some other stuff. And I contacted you. I think I commented on one of your pictures, and I had said, hey, do you mind if I PM you? I got some questions. And so you get this weird kind of message from this guy. What was your first impression?
It was such a great experience, and I wanted to, you know, basically show off, I suppose, as you do when you suddenly all these wonderful things happen. And so I got your message, and I was like, cool. And funny thing is, I was actually coming back from Scotland at the time. So I think I might have been, I think I got a message. I think I said to you, I'll get back to you. Yes, we'll talk about it, but I'm on a train at the moment.
You weren't done with your adventure.
No. It was this 10-day whirlwind adventure in Scotland that I did. And I was on my way back when I got the message from you saying that you were going to do sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
So I think when I actually got to sit down for a second, we messaged each other, and yeah, the start of a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, well, you did. So, you had visited some locations, and you spent more time. You spent twice as much time as I did in Scotland, so I knew that I could get some helpful information and such. And I was so excited that that you were doing Highlander stuff, and I was getting ready to do it. I'm like, this is great. And then we ended up meeting up, met up with me and my good friend David in London. We went to go see the Aliens 30th anniversary screening, which was really cool. And, of course, you can't go to London if you're a geeky nerd without checking out Forbidden Planet as well.
Well, it's a funny thing. Well, I used to work there. That was the whole thing. I actually worked in Forbidden Planet for 7 years in the late 90s, early 2000s. So it's not in that store, not so much the store that they're in now, but in the old New Oxford Street store, if any of the listeners have ever been to London and have done Forbidden Planet. Great time. Probably the best job I ever had because it was pretty easy. I mean, you get to play with toys.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the time I was there, we actually sold the Highlander swords. So not the Kurgan. We never had the Kurgan, but we definitely had the MacLeod and we definitely had the Samurai. And a friend of mine actually got the Samurai. She actually bought the Samurai.
Were those popular at the time?
They were. It was all around the time. It was before Lord of the Rings. So it was sort of the late. We started bringing the swords in. And so it was the Highlander swords as well as what was it, the Buffy / I think Klingon sword. For some reason, I think the dagger actually. So we sold that as well. But they did definitely have the Highlander swords, which
that's great.
One day is a bucket list of having on the wall, as we would all do.
I got to tell the listeners too, if you ever find yourself in London, you got to check out Forbidden Planet. This place is huge. It's got a great downstairs area where they have a lot of the books and some video as well. And like the main place is when you walk in is action figure toy memorabilia heaven. It is fantastic. So make sure you guys go check out that. Now, before we start your Highlander tour here, I want to get a little background. You have some awesome tattoo art on your right arm. And yes. This shows how much of a Highlander fan you are, but also how much of a fan you are of the Kurgan. Give the listeners a little breakdown of the tattoo that you have, the awesome tattoo that you have on your right arm.
Well, basically, I mean, I am of that age where I saw Highlander at the cinema. So we'd been 16 at the time and went with my family. And, we see this movie and on walks Kurgan and I'm like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And I became a huge fan of Clancy Brown. So I've seen a lot of his films and his TV shows. So and I've always had the love. And we have every version. You've had the video version, the Laserdisc version, every version. And it's always been a great love. And a couple of years ago, I've also got a big love for Alien and Aliens. And in my house in Australia, I have a lot of Alien toys. My bedroom's covered in Aliens. So my first tattoo was an Alien Queen, which goes across my back. Well, of course, once you get your first tattoo, it slightly gets addictive. So, and I'm thinking, well, what would I get? And I always wanted one on my shoulder. And there's a beautiful picture of Clancy Brown, and it's probably one of the most famous of the Kurgan scenes. It's a side view of his head in the armor, which, of course, is just absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I have this wonderful artist called Kane who works at Fox Body Art in Melbourne. There's a slight plug, who does comic art, and his stuff is amazing. So he did my Alien Queen, which is just perfect. And I sent him a message saying, well, look, I'd love another tattoo. How about the Kurgan? Well, he loves a challenge, and he said yes. So first of all, it was about 2014, I got basically the head and shoulders of that picture done on my right shoulder. Then, of course, I'm like, no, I want more. So we extended it down. And he created the scene. So it's basically the battle scene at the start. So I've got the Kurgan that runs down the shoulder. His then sword becomes lightning, which then goes into the Highlands of Scotland. And I have him rearing on the horse with, of course, the Kurgan sword up above, which you see when he first meets Connor MacLeod, when the horse rears over him, slightly in a different direction. Of course, it's because you can never get that picture totally.
Right, how many times
you screenshot it. And then, of course, you know, Kane's like, do you want a battle? And I went, well, that would be too messy. So, but, of course, we put in, and everyone, it's like Kaiser Soze on how people say this castle. Alan Dorn, because I think you say it differently.
Yeah, I've been saying Eileen Donan, which is probably wrong as well.
I know it is. It's the Kaiser Soze of castles. No one ever says it the same way. So I have a part of that the castle on my arm, which then led me to needing to see this castle in real life.
That is awesome. So, what a thank you. You did a really good description of the tattoo, and I that scene in Highlander when you see the Kurgan show up is probably one of the most important iconic scenes in Highlander. So thank you for describing your tattoo. It is fantastic. I'm going to try to get one of your pictures up so people can see it later on, because it's interesting how you have that tattoo done and you kind of have an adventure that comes full circle, which we'll get into. We're going to go through a little timeline here of your trip to Scotland, which includes the Highlander 4K event. But we're going to save that till the end, because that's the good stuff. But I wanted to touch on it a little bit about how you first heard about it. And what I find interesting is that when Norman and I first started this podcast, we had said, you know, when we had made announcement and also on our Facebook, Blood of Kings Facebook group, if anyone is going to this event, please contact us. Let us know how this event is. We're really curious. We can't make it ourselves. This would be a great thing to do. And that's why I was really excited to get in contact with you, Aaron, because let's talk about how you first found out and then how this amazing trip started and how you launched. So you are, where are you? You're in Australia. And then how do you hear about the Edinburgh Film Festival?
Well, basically, I was setting up a trip to go to England anyway. So little backstory, my dad passed away, who was quite a well-known actor in Australia, being in Crocodile Dundee and stuff like that. And we had to, so being with anything that happens like that, you have a bad year. And I decided that because my mum and my dad were from the UK and I've actually lived there, we go back for the summer to visit family and stuff like that. So we'd already booked the trip. So I've got the timeline of about the 9th of May. So we were leaving on the 18th of May. So on the 9th of May, I'm sitting at home, you know, sort of doing your thing, and you wake up and you're looking at Facebook, and it's not the Highlander Heart. I think it was just the Highlander fan page put a thing up saying Edinburgh Film Festival, you know, 30th anniversary, 4K edition with Clancy Brown. Well, my mother, all she could hear was screaming. Like, I think she thought the house fell down, screaming with, oh my God. And me running up and down going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Slight little, again, backstory. About 3 days before, I was actually having breakfast, not because he's a friend, but we were sort of having breakfast with my tattooist, Kane. And we were sort of saying that, you know, I would never get anyone else to do a tattoo unless I happened to meet Clancy Brown and I got a signature and I had to get someone to tattoo it there and then. Never thinking in a million years this would ever happen. So just telling you people, if you put it out there, amazing things happen. So I'm going, oh, my God, oh, my God, Clancy Brown's going to be. And it worked out that I would be in England. So I'm like, I've got to get tickets. So I booked tickets there and then. Now, later on, we hear that it sold out in 12 hours.
Oh my gosh.
But they didn't know.
You got in on it right away, though. You ordered tickets.
Yeah. It literally must have come up straight away, because a lot of people complained that on the web page for the Edinburgh Film Festival, they didn't know anything about it. Why weren't they told? But I saw this straight away. And they were like, the tickets were like £8. So I got two.
Only £8? Oh, my God.
They were £8. I was like, this is fine. I'll get 20. But I got two. So I booked it, got it done, dusted, did the whole, oh, my God, guess who, you know, I'm going, and yada, yada. So we get to London, and that was on the 18th, and we were staying here for a while. So with that, I thought, well, I'll do some, you know, looked up the sort of the Highlander locations.
Did you do that research when you got in London, when you were talking about where you're going to look at Highlander locations, or did you kind of do a little pre-planning before you left for London?
I think I've always done it. I think everybody's done it at some time, whether or not you just look to see, you know, where where things were filmed. I couldn't even begin. I think I just Googled Highlander locations.
Gotcha.
And it just sort of, you know, so there is a webpage. I think the first comes up.
But you're also a big, you're also a big Outlander fan. You wanted to see some locations as well.
Yes. So that was going to be, so I was definitely going to go to Scotland, which even though I lived here in England years ago, I'd never been. But it's just those times in your life that it wasn't important to me then. Now it was important for me to go. So I'm in London and I thought, well, what better place to go to is the St. Augustine's Church in Kilburn, where, of course, is the famous, amazing scene of the Kurgan and MacLeod meeting in the church. And that was filmed in London.
So yeah, that's right. It takes place in New York, but this is a beautiful church that you got to go visit in London personally. And of course, this is where the Kurgan and the Highlander meet on holy ground. The Kurgan taunts him. He sticks his tongue out at some of the priests. And so when you found out where this was, what did you do first? Like, how did you find out how to get there?
Well, so I looked it up. So I looked it up and then you just, you know, you Google and the love of Google. And then it said, you know, where it is. And it was only, you know, it's quite close. It's like the Metropolitan line. It's just out of London. And so, but it's not really open to the public. It is and it isn't. So it's not like some of the churches you can just walk in all the time. But it did say that you could go in, so it's a Catholic church, so you could go in before services on a Saturday and a Sunday. It's open half an hour before. So I did travel one time because I had another timetable. It was a little bit sort of, you can't really understand it. It's not very clear on how, if it's opened or not. So I turned up and I saw the outside of it and you sort of couldn't get in. So then I came back and I'm like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this. I have to do this. So I went there on the Saturday and it was open and I was like the only person in there. And
how early were you there?
So probably about 20 minutes.
Before the services?
Yeah.
And what time did the services start?
Yeah, so no one was in there. 12 o'clock.
Okay, gotcha.
So right, double check that. So if anybody decides to do it, just double check the website. But they do. You are allowed to go in there. It's not like it, you know. But there was a lady in there setting up flowers. So I was feeling a little bit sort of like, should I be here? Should I not? But it doesn't matter. So I walked in there and it's so beautiful. The difference is, of course, in the movie, they have the altar set up with the priests and the boys at the front. Of course, that's not there. Also, the benches are not there. They're seats. Okay. So that's totally different. But then, of course, it would have been changed over how many years ago. So I think it has been used for quite a few other films as well, not just for Highlander. I think it has been used for a few others. What ones, I could not explain to you. Of course, that's gone right out of my brain. But it was to just, if you are a fan, and of course, being such a Kurgan fan, and it being quite an infamous scene, because in the original print in America, that scene with him licking the priest's hand was cut.
That's
until
right.
About 1996 when they reinforced it. So the scene with the Nazi Germany and him licking the hand were cut from the original US print. It went to video, still cut. And then I remember being in America when I lived there for a bit that my friend Todd and I were so excited that the video came out again with the two scenes put back in. And that was the scene in the church. And to me, other than the Scotland scenes, and this is probably my second favorite scene in the whole film.
I have to ask you, when you were in the church, this was something I had to remind myself to do when I was doing my little Highlander excursion recently, to first of all, just kind of relax and kind of soak in the atmosphere of where you actually are and appreciate it, and then maybe take a couple pictures. But first question, were you allowed to take pictures inside?
Yeah, there was no one to say no or okay. not. So
and
yes,
did,
yes,
did you have a moment to yourself?
I sat. I sat. I said I may have music music. I may have had music playing. And no, I had it was a beautiful, just even, I mean, I'm not a religious person, but I, you know, understand the feeling of sitting there and just reflecting. So
that's awesome.
For the architecture, just for the look of it, I mean, it is so beyond beautiful, and it's extremely gothic. Just to go and have a look, just if you love, you know, if you're not a religious person, just to go and see something that was so beautifully made, is an experience in itself. So, you know, whether you're a Highlander fan or just a fan of just, you know, something beautiful, it's definitely worth going to have a look.
That's great.
And it's not that far. It's 15 minutes on the tube.
I really wanted to try to do that. I remember talking to you about that while I was in London, but I couldn't because I had the Star Wars celebration that weekend and I couldn't get away in the mornings to do that. And but next time I'm in London, that's going to be one of the first places that I go. So thank you for sharing that experience. Before we go, I know you, the next thing you went to was the film festival, but I want to save that till last. I want to jump forward. You went to Glasgow, which is a city I spent a little bit of time in. And I want to talk about, even though it's not Highlander related, though, if you're a fan of Scotland and you're a fan of especially films and TV shows being filmed in Scotland, specifically Glasgow, you did a one-day tour of an Outlander one-day tour. I know there's a lot of fans that listen to this might be fans of Outlander. Briefly describe that tour in Glasgow.
Yeah, that was excellent. So originally when I decided that – so I was going to go up for at least a day to the Edinburgh Film Festival, and then it ended up turning out to be 10 days. So that's when I had to do a big study of – so I did 2 days in Edinburgh, 2 days in Glasgow, and then 3 days in Inverness, and that heads towards Ailinduin Castle. So when I was in Glasgow, I ended up doing the Outlander tour, and that was basically, it was lovely that they had it set up, and they're going to kill me for not remembering their names, but if not, I could put it up on a website. But it was a gentleman called James picked up two lovely ladies from America. So there was only three of us. We were in a car and they had it down pat. So we basically went to Doon Castle, which was also used as Winterfell in Game of Thrones.
Wow, that is fantastic.
And also I think I'm going to say, can't be Life of Brian, might have been, what's the Monty Python one, the medieval one, shows you how much I don't look like Monty Python.
There's Life of Brian and then there was...
it's not Life of Brian. I don't think it's, no.
Okay.
It's the medieval one. Anyway, gotcha. That was used. So.
That is
Monty
cool.
Monty Python people, I'm so sorry. But, my cup of tea. But anyway, so that castle is used a lot. So that was fantastic. And then we traveled to where, if you are an Outlander fan, where they used Inverness. Now, they had to use a 1940s Inverness, but of course Inverness nowadays doesn't look like that. So we went to a place called Falkland in Fife, and that is an old, old town just outside of Glasgow. And that is used for the scene at the start when Frank and Claire first go to Scotland, and then Claire goes off and then she falls through the stones and, of course, meets Jamie Fraser. But there's a very famous scene where there's in the middle of the square where Frank's coming back from the pastor's house and Claire's up in a window brushing her hair. There's the ghost of Jamie Fraser looking up, and Frank walks past him thinking he's real, but, of course, he's a ghost. So we actually went to – so going to that exact spot,
wow,
was very exciting. So I got a lot of pictures of, and I put a lot of pictures up on my Facebook where it was, this is the scene from the show and this is the scene where we were at, at the time. So it was a wonderful day. We went to where they did Fort William, which of course wasn't Fort William, but where it's called Blackness Castle, which is shaped like a boat. So the castle, it's not a boat, but it looks like a boat, and it is a military castle, and it is very cold in there.
Wow.
Like you walk down, you would not want to be, you know, on the bad side or kept down there, and you could feel it. And it was amazing because there was a lot of scenes of Blackjack flogging Jamie twice, and the famous scene of why he's got the scars on his back was all filmed at this castle. So a lot of it, we got to go around. We also got to go to Lallybroch, which is a private estate, which they actually pay for that you're allowed to go to. So it's not something the public go to, right. But they've talked to the people to say, yes, we can go. So Lallybroke, which is ironically in the last episode, looks exactly how we saw it, because when Claire goes back of season two, you know, it's 1968, it's a ruin. So that's how we see it, you know, when you go there. But, of course, when they're filming it in the oldie days, they've, of course, all done it up and, you know, put flowers and stuff like that. But, again, to be there on that whole thing was just – I had a ball.
That must have been a great trip. You know, you're into your Scotland trip here. And now you mentioned that you went to Inverness, and I want to mention to the fans out there, I had a chance to briefly visit there. Inverness is right at the top of the famous Loch Ness, where the Loch Ness Monster legend is. But you did an Inverness and Isle of Skye and Eileen Donan one-day tour. And let's talk about that real quick, because obviously the castle, Eileen Donan, shown in the original Highlander film, is probably the famous castle there. It's magical. Tell us a little bit about that day.
Yes. So I left Glasgow. So 2 days in Glasgow, spent one day walking around. Then I did the Outlander tour. I then, thank you, Scotland Rail, it had a strike. So I had to then quickly go, oh, my God. And I got a bus all the way up there. Now, catching a bus, you think 3 hours in Scotland would be like, yawn, no way. So you cannot get bored on this thing. It is so beautiful. So if you ever get caught and you think, I have to change something, or I have to go on bus and it's going to be longer, don't worry, because just it is a slice of heaven. It really is just the most magical place you will ever see. And everything is beautiful. So we drove up there. I stayed in a wonderful Airbnb.
You're talking about Isle of Skye right now, right?
No, this is Inverness.
Oh, Inverness. I'm sorry. Yeah,
so I get to Inverness. Okay. So I spent 3 days in Inverness. So I get there. I'm staying down the road from Inverness. So it was about a 15-minute walk up along the river. And this wonderful Airbnb that was like, looked like the inside looked like Rocky Horror Picture Show, like that mansion. It was hysterical. It was red and black and, wow, you know, huge big books of Edgar Allan Poe. It was just wonderful. It was just amazing. So then the next day I went to Culloden because of Outlander, and that, of course, is where they had the big battle in 1745, where the Highlanders, of course, got defeated in about an hour and a half by the British, and then that way of life of the Highlanders all disappeared, and the tartan got banned, and you weren't allowed to wear the kilts, and it was just – so from all that, so that's basically a very, very somber place to go to.
Amazing. Where exactly is that located?
It's about – I caught it. You can catch a bus. It's about 20 minutes out of Inverness.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I had to be quite close, because otherwise, okay, they were, you know.
Is this shortly after this is where you headed to Isle of Skye?
No, we got Isle of Skye was the next day.
Gotcha.
So I arrived in Inverness. I've got Culloden the next day. I also wanted to go and see some stones, which I didn't get to go and see because, and this is a tip to anybody traveling, and you will know this as a tip, that if you've got sun, do the hardest thing first and then do the easiest thing, because I went to Culloden thinking I will go back to these stones, not the stones that they use in the show because they're fake, but they are inspired by, and I thought, well, that was a 20-minute walk, and, of course, by the time I finished Culloden, it was raining. Now, before it was beautiful and blue sky. So I learned a lesson on that. So whatever it was the hardest thing to do and it's sunny, do it first.
That is good advice. Trust me. We ran into a little bit of challenge of that when we were Isle of Skye. We did the hardest thing in the worst weather.
Exactly. So, and I just, coming out of Culloden, I was just, and I could only walk down there, and it was just raining too much. And I was like, I don't want to get sick for the next day. So next time, again, like you with the church, next time I will go to these stones and always pick the hardest thing to do in the sun.
Good advice.
The next day we caught a bus and there was a few of us, wonderful driver, and we did the Isle of Skye, Ellendurned Castle, and yeah, and that was a one day. So of course we bypassed Loch Ness. You actually went to Loch Ness. I didn't. We didn't stop at the light. I think you went to sort of where you can get all the like the toys and stuff like that, didn't you?
We went to a touristy part, and then we went to the non-touristy part. But you know, it's a beautiful loch, but it's, you know, I had more fun elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, because, and then this is another thing, because this is the beauty of Scotland. You start off, and I mean, I've got some wonderful pictures where we're going to Loch Ness and it's ominous. It's like these clouds and it's dark. And you think, oh my God, we will see Nessie. And there was wonderful, our guide was amazing because we're driving down. And I don't know if any of the listeners, and they should know, Alistair Crowley, who was a big sorcerer of his time. Well, he had a house down there. So, which apparently, you know, as legend said, he conjured the devil and stuff like that. Well, then he passed away and Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin bought it.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
But apparently he rarely stayed in it because he was scared.
Yeah, it's got some haunting parts to it probably, but yeah. So did you how long did it take you, like, for the tour that you did in Isle of Skye, how long did that take on the tour?
Well, that was a whole day thing. So as we went past, you know, he was saying that how it got burnt down. Then we went through Loch Ness and then up towards Ellendurn, and then we were there for about an hour. So
at the castle?
Okay.
Let's walk through that, because we know this was probably your own little religious experience to come to this thing. And when I was recounting my approachment, I want to hear what you were feeling when you were coming up on this castle.
Well, of course, everybody knew that this was on the bus. So there was probably about 15 of us on the bus. So, and the drive. So they all knew that this was, and I was sitting at the front because I was by myself. I had the
was there, wait, was there other Highlander fans there?
No, they wouldn't.
So they were excited, but not as excited as you were to see the castle that was in the original Highlander film.
Because of course it was, they knew the tattoo. Because it was quite warm, so it started off not cold, but it was dark.
They saw your they saw your tattoo, wondering like, "Wow."
Yeah. So they knew that they're all going to just see Scotland, and I'm going because of really Highlander.
Right.
So as it was coming down, so I had, being a lover of Spotify, I had the soundtrack to the orchestral soundtrack to Highlander. So, you know, the opening scene, of course, Ramirez and the training scene. So all that music. So I had the Outlander music from Bear Creeley. And so I had a mixture playing the whole time, sort of, you know, listening, but also at some times I had music playing, because for me that made the experience just, you know, even more.
Right.
So I've got this music playing. And as we're coming down, he's like, it's here. And my heart starts going and I'm sweating. And I have to say, I cried. Ugh. I cried. Yes, I did. And it was just, we turned up and it was, again, we were still on the dark side. It was still a bit sort of, you know, clouds were over.
Can I ask you what time of the day this was when you arrived?
Midday.
Okay.
Yeah. So I actually, my hands were shaking. Like, this is... And you guys would all know this. I mean, I know that for some people on this earth it would probably be really trivial, but this is something that you would never think in your wildest dreams you would ever see or go to. But you know what? These things can happen. And this was it. This was, I'm going to do this. And coming down and then just seeing it, and I hit the music. And I know in your one you were saying that you were liking to go quite
– Yeah, I went a different route.
You went a different route. So, yeah, but everybody's experience is different. So, and that's what makes everyone cool, because we get to learn everybody else's. So it was, yeah, so I had the music. Yeah, I had the music going.
What music exactly was playing?
I had the coming out. I can't remember what they call it, but it's the one where they're on the horses going. It's going over the bridge.
Oh, that's actually the music that we play in the beginning of our podcast, the orchestra.
Yes,
part.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I had all that. So we went from that to, of course, the training montage, which is just beautiful. And then it goes into Heather dying, and then it was, you know, Who Wants to Live Forever, and it's all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so we get down there, and I'm shaking and taking photos, and then I get them to take a photo of me with my arm out, going, "Look, I've got this on my arm," and you know, doing all that sort of, you know, stuff. And then they said you can go along the castle. Now, for me, it was the outside of the castle for me. As much as inside was interesting and amazing, and for how castles are, it's like the perfect castle. It's got little stairs going this way. It's got a little thing in the, you know, with the water in the middle. You know, it's those castles that you think you can see, you know, in your dreams. Like, you can go to other castles and they're a bit like, but this is a castle castle.
Did you did you take the tour that goes inside like I did on my second visit?
No, because you got two visits, mister. Yeah. Two visits you got. Lucky you. You and your two visits.
The second one wasn't planned. It worked out that way.
Yeah. I may have been hating you bad slightly then. So we didn't get the times. And then I suddenly thought we had to eat there, not realizing we were eating in the Isle of Skye. So I'm trying to shove a sandwich while getting all these photos. So the thing is I got to walk around and I got to do that. Just before we were leaving, the heavens opened up and the sun came through, and I got photos that, like you, that you just, you can't, you don't need filters. You don't need, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the
I know
photos
exactly what you mean.
This thing's just purely amazing. And so I was very lucky in about the last 10 minutes before we got back onto the bus, because we didn't come round, we went a different route on the way back. So we were never going to go past it again, that I got these absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to go home and they're going to go on my wall with all my other pictures. And that will be my homage to, you know, till I go back again.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, hopefully you'll get, yeah, I know you want to go back, and I do recommend the inside tour, because you get to see how, as I mentioned in the previous podcast, that in the 1700s that place was destroyed and left destroyed for 200 years until it was rebuilt by a Klansman that was proud, the McRae Klansman that was proud of his heritage, and he built it back up, and it is a beautiful castle. It's actually still kind of a working castle, so hopefully you'll get back and get some great pictures. Yeah.
I lived there, and apparently you can get married there.
Yes, you can.
I have weddings. Yeah, no. And yeah, it was like £1,500. I was like, really? I would fake marriage. Just that. Everyone, yes. Let's just do a fake marriage. Just to say that you could come down with that music.
And nice. I want to mention to the fans too that the other day a friend of mine had posted a Facebook video of there's a bunch of Scottish musicians that got together and did an awesome instrumental cover of Rachel Platten's Fight Song, and they did it on actual location of Eileen Dunne Castle. It's beautiful. It's beautifully shot. There's a couple of scenes taken in the Highlands as well around the area. But if you get a chance, check out that video on YouTube. It's I'm not sure the exact name of it, but just search up Highlander musicians, Rachel Platten. You'll see it. It's beautifully shot. And I was a little jealous though, because they had like the perfect weather for that shot.
Yeah, they did. And well, that's the thing with Scotland. It is four seasons. I mean, I thought Melbourne was bad and we're known for four seasons in one day, but Scotland can have four seasons in 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. We saw that a lot. And before we get into your experience at the 4K event here, I want to tell people that even though it's raining or it's wet outside, the beauty of that type of weather also lends to Scotland. And you get some awesome, beautiful shots when it's not sunny. And the clouds and the, you know, I'm sure you saw some beautiful cloud coverage, and you saw the many rivers coming down from the mountains because of all the precipitation. So take advantage of it. But good advice earlier, if you do have sun, do the hardest thing. Excellent advice, Aaron.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, because, and this was the beauty of this trip, is that when we started in Loch Ness, I've got these pictures that are so dark and it's just clouds, and you go through and mist. And then as you go through the day, we get down there and it was like one side of the castle was dark and then it flipped over and then the sun came out. And then the rest of it, when we went over the bridge to the Isle of Skye, which of course it's the song in Outlander, that's what that song's about when they change some of the lyrics, of course, is that, you know, that song's to that bridge. And then once we were in the Isle of Skye, it was absolutely beautiful and hot. And
yeah.
It was hot. And you got to go to the Stardust. I wish I knew that one.
Yeah.
Because David found that one for you.
Yeah, he did. That was a pleasant surprise. I was happy we went there. Let's get into your experience at the Edinburgh Film Festival that showcased the Highlander 30th anniversary 4K theater premiere. Walk us through, when it started and when you got there and, what was going through your mind and what you were expecting.
All right. So I'm I like spontaneity, but then I also like to plan stuff. So when I was in London and I was organizing my trip, I did a lot of Airbnb and then did the tour. So I did everything before I left, which, is a good thing to do. But then, of course, things can change, like the strike and I had to catch a bus and that sort of stuff. So because I'd never been to Edinburgh and I was going by myself, I got an Airbnb. I worked out where the actual event was, and it was at Signworld in Edinburgh, which is slightly out of the city. So Signworld Cinemas, and it's sort of a complex. So what I did is that I looked up, I thought I would rather be closer to the cinema staying than being in the town and trying to catch a bus or anything. So I ended up finding a really lovely Airbnb with a fantastic couple that lived 8 minutes away walking.
Oh, that's great.
So that, I'm a bit like that. So I had that. So when I got there and I met them and they were lovely and I went and got something to eat, I actually went to the cinema. I did a trial run.
Smart, very smart.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
So, and I wanted to see where it was. So originally my mum was going to come with me, but then that changed because she was staying for something else. So I ended up contacting a friend of mine who I worked at Forbidden Planet, who's a huge Highlander fan, David, who I hadn't seen in years. And I'm like, and he lives in Glasgow. And I said, can you get your butt up to Edinburgh? You've got a free ticket to Highlander. And he went, why are you even asking me? You don't even need to ask me. I will be there. But he ended up running late a bit. So we rarely got to talk to each other, but he got pictures of Clancy, so he doesn't care. So, and it was funny because I could have sold that ticket suddenly people were asking for tickets. It was like, anyone's got one, a free one, well, not a free one, but But I gave it to my friend. So I did a trial run. I went down there. I came back and it was cold. It was sunny, but it was cold. But, I wanted to sort of, show off the tattoo. And so I had a jacket, but I like T-shirt underneath. Anyway, so I thought I'd go down there early to go and get something to eat. So I walked down there and there are already people in sort of like, so they had like a walkway.
About what time was this, would you say?
So the actual screening was at 7:30.
Okay.
This would have been about 5:30.
Okay, gotcha.
So it wasn't a lot, but there were people down there. So I thought, well, I'll come up. So this is because I've not really done the red carpet premiere thing before. I've been on the red carpet, luckily enough, for some things, but I've not actually been on the other side. So I don't know if I'm going to see him after. So I'm thinking this might be the only time I get to get a photo or I get to say hello. So I decide to join this group that are standing there, and lovely people. There was one guy with a poster, the poster of Conor McLeod. It's got the light,
you're with a group of people that you may not get the best seats or you may not get in there soon enough, but you're hoping to maybe get a meet and greet or a picture, maybe an autograph, right?
Not everyone had tickets. So people getting an autograph. I had tickets, so I didn't have to worry about that.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so I've already got tickets, but it's sold out. So this seller sold out apparently 12 hours. This is what I find out later. All I know is that when you look on it, a little time, like I bought them on the day I saw them, and then I looked, because I kept getting paranoid, where is it, double checking, and it would say sold out, just in case it had changed.
Gotcha.
I even wrote to them and asked if he was going to be signing anything. They did get back to me. They're like, well, he's going to be there, he's doing a Q&A, but whether he signs anything is up to him. So
what made you decide to stay with these people instead of going inside?
because I didn't know if – I thought if I went inside and he does the talking, I might never ever – I wanted the photo.
Gotcha. That's smart.
Whether or not I got the signing – and I have got his signature, but the pen sort of broke slightly. But I'd rather the photo. The photo and the say hello.
So walk us through that. How did that happen?
Okay, so I turned up there and I'm talking to people. So the guy in front of me is sort of like I would say a professional autograph person, lovely guy, but he would go to every event and get people's autograph. Not to sell, this is just something he does. And you would know the people who like autographs.
Right, right.
So we were talking about, you know, he was saying how the class from Outlander are really lovely and blah, blah, blah. And he said, look, he said, Clancy's lovely, but he's not very engaging, which we all know this. We all know that Clancy never had the greatest time with Highlander when he was filming it. He's never done anything for Highlander before. He's never done anything, you know.
Which is why this was a big event, yeah.
Oh, and this was the biggest event. And not just for Highland for me, it is everything that Clancy done. I'm a massive Clancy fan. I've seen most of his films and his TV work, you know, from Carnival to Shawshank Redemption to, as we said, Deadly Pursuit or Shoot to Kill. You know, I can name stuff, you know, Blue Steel, that people probably wouldn't even know he was in. So this was like meeting my favorite actor as well, not just for Highlander. So favorite film, favorite actor.
Understood.
So, yeah, so I'm standing there and I'm talking to people. So the guy said he'll be very nice, but he might not be the most engaging person.
Gotcha.
And which is fine, and that's respectful. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, so it's coming up to the time and my friend was running late anyway. So, but then he turned up and he knew what it was all about. So we were in there and I was sort of at the front line. But I was more towards the entry, where he would go in. So he turned up with his family. And so he's got his daughter and his wife, Janine, Jean and James and Rose. And James and Clancy are dressed in the full tartan kilt and looked amazing.
I remember seeing those pictures. That's awesome.
Yeah. So he dressed up and he was lovely and he talked to people. And so it was, so I suddenly, here's me thinking I should have been closer to the, the news people because he was spending time there. And as it was getting closer to 7:30, I'm like, oh my God, he's not going to get to me and I won't get to sort of say hello. But he's walking along and I got some photos and then he would signing stuff and then people were giving him so many things to sign and I was like, oh my God.
I can understand how you're feeling. You're feeling a little anxiety because he's taking time signing all this stuff for these fans and you just want to get a picture with him.
It's like, I'm the biggest fan. No one else has a tattoo on their
So he obviously finally made his way towards you.
Yeah, so getting closer. So then this is the heart. I'm starting to sweat. It's freezing, but I want, I've got this little T-shirt on and I'm starting to sweat thinking they're going to get to near me and then shuffle him in because it's close to the screening time.
Right.
Anyway, he made it there and we got a photo and it's a wonderful photo of the two of us together. And he looked at the arm and he went, oh God, oh okay.
He was probably caught off guard by this.
he was like he would just he did. How can you explain it? It was, yeah, he was caught off guard, but it wasn't like I didn't feel like he was oh my God, that was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Who else would have? And he did. He said it was amazing. He held it out and he went over it because it's a huge piece.
Yes,
and he was like, wow. That's amazing. And then, of course, he got shuffled in. So we raced into the auditorium because we were one of the last ones in there because of, people were already in there. And so we sat right up. We were up near the back. And
I want to back up real quick. You got your pictures though, right?
Yeah. Okay. I got a photo. I got him to sign, because I didn't. And sitting there, I'm like, I had photos at home he could have signed. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things that I just didn't need. Think of. You think of all these things after the fact.
Well, I did want to mention, I'm looking at the picture right now where you have your back up against his chest. He has his left arm on your shoulder and he's pointing at your arm with the awesome tattoo, and he's smiling. You're smiling. Yes. It's a great picture. And then there's also a close-up kind of selfie-looking picture of just your guys' face, which is beautiful as well. It's great.
Yeah, so that was the first photo. So that's the one in the line.
Okay.
So the one in the line, so that was another guy, of course, and when you hand you your camera phone, they can never work it, and it's, you know, the whole thing's having a disaster. But that's the photo. So it wasn't actually me taking a selfie. It's just that I happened to turn with the guy behind me taking that photo.
Okay.
And I love that photo. And it looks like we're like, we've been together forever. So then we walked in. So that was that photo. So then we go in and they play the film. Now, I had seen the film in another cinema in Australia recently with a double with Flash Gordon. And they were a print. So I have a feeling we had it earlier, but I had seen it about 2 weeks before I left to go over to England on the big screen anyway.
But it's not, it wasn't the 4K version though, was
it? It was a lovely print. So whether it was not the 4K, but it was a cleaned up version of it. But knowing them, they could have played a Blu-ray.
Okay.
So definitely Flash Gordon was definite because it nearly blinded me with the color.
So they shuffle in Clancy. You are starting to head to your seats then, right?
Yes, yes. So we were sort of up the back to the left. And, of course, they play the film and everyone loves it. It is packed. You can't move.
Let me ask you real quick. During the actual showing of the movie, you said people loved it. Describe the energy. Was there people cheering at certain times, booing at certain times at the, you know, at Clancy's character? How because they know that he's there, how did that go? What was the energy like?
Oh, no, totally. They're the best ones to go to when it's the fans. I went to the, when they remade Evil Dead, and we went to, because Evil Dead is my favorite horror movie of all time. But we went to the first night of it and it was packed in this little place in Melbourne, which was only showing it at the cinema. And it was a great crowd because everyone cheered and they went, because they're all horror fans.
So that's the experience you had here, is you had all fans in there.
Yes, yes. So it was all the laughing and you know, and the woo. It was all, you know, when you first see, you know, the Kurgan up on top of the hill and the lightning and he's rearing up and it's all, you know, everything. And when it started, everyone was clapping and it was very, it was the full Highlander experience and you know, and the two cops together, the buddy cop sections always, you know, they're fantastic. And they are. And that was the good rapport. That was, again, what the film was. I mean, I have listened to, I had the Laserdisc when we all had Laserdisc.
Oh, yeah.
And the commentary with Russell Mulcahy is amazing. You know, you listen to the commentary on Ridley Scott and Alien and it's really quite boring because he didn't have to try. You listen to the ones where they actually had to, you know, do this or they had trouble with that. It's quite an interesting story. So what they did, you know, with I think the Christopher Lambert he's practically blind, but he couldn't wear contacts. So, you know, that's why he's got that far off look happening. and the sword play, and, you know, and then Clancy apparently was freaking out about the makeup because
he had some allergic reaction to it, to a previous thing that he had done.
Yeah, The Bride.
Yeah, exactly.
So he didn't really, that's why they didn't do too much makeup near the end because he had such a bad reaction with The Bride, which, he's the only good thing in that movie. So you hear all these wonderful stories on how they, you know, would do stuff and getting it all done.
I was just going to mention, the movie ends, right? What happens as the credits are rolling and how did they move on to, I guess there was a Q&A afterwards?
Yeah, so basically the people who were the Edinburgh Film Festival came out and talked, and then they brought Clancy down onto the stage. So, and he says hello to everyone. And I think this might be the first time he's ever done. I know he's done some interviews. I've seen them on YouTube, but I think this is the first time he's ever done a Q&A for Highlander. I could be wrong.
I think you're right, at least in this official capacity. Who else joined him on stage?
That was it. They were meant to have someone else, and I can't remember his name. He's not – so if it's the – it's not Connor McLeod. It's not the guy – it's the guy who banishes him. He's in everything, and I can never remember his name. He's in every Scottish Braveheart.
Exactly. I know who you're talking about.
You guys would know. I'm sorry.
Was that Angus, I think?
Yeah.
The actor Angus.
He was meant to be there, and he didn't turn up.
Okay.
Or he couldn't make it. But other than that, it was just Clancy. And so, and he would told, he started off telling us that this is the first time his children had ever seen the film.
Wow.
Yeah. And he said, and I think it might have been the second time he'd ever seen it.
Yeah, he hadn't seen it
in a very long time.
Yeah, that must have been an interesting experience for him. Did he seem nervous, or was he taking the questions well, or what was your impression of that?
Oh, no, he was lovely. He was really – I mean, I've seen some interviews with him, and he's not exactly, the most personal person. I think that, you know, he loves acting, but he always said that if he can't do a role, he won't do it.
Right.
He's not the method actor. You know, there's some stuff in Carnival that's so amazing. You know, I think he's wonderful. And there's a scene, you know, where he's talking about the children that is just mind-blowing, beautiful speech that if you're ever an actor, would be a wonderful audition speech to do. But so he's not that sort of, he's just not that sort of person. I think he's quite a serious person, even though he does all this sort of stuff. And he knows he's lucky. He knows that he's had a great career.
Was there any specific questions that he answered that maybe surprised you the most that you didn't know about him because you are a big fan of his?
Yeah, I didn't know how they asked how he got the role. So they asked, did he have to audition? And he said no. He got the role through Sting. Sting from the Police. So because he worked with him on The Bride.
Okay.
So basically what happened is that given the role. Arnold Schwarzenegger was offered it. I think that Sean Connery was offered Connor McLeod, but then he decided to go for Ramirez. So a few people were offered the Kurgan. And I think that Russell Mulcahy, because he'd been doing all the Duran Duran videos.
Yeah, he was a big video. 80s. Yeah, he did a lot of videos.
Yeah. So that was his big thing with Rio and stuff like that, Save a Prayer. He was at a party with Sting and he was saying he's doing this movie and it's up in Scotland. I think he may have even asked Sting. And I think Sting had done Dune before The Bride? I think he might have actually. So he'd done that. But he said, look, I know this really tall guy called Clancy Brown. And he'd done the creature in The Bride, and that's how he got it. But he said it wasn't exactly – look, he got really good friends with the swordsman who did all the stunt work, and he's been a lifelong friend of his.
I think that was Bob Anderson,
He's been his friend forever. He said that he turned up – and now he's 10 years older than me, so he was 25 when they were filming that. So – he turned up to Glasgow. No one was there to meet him. And he had to find somewhere to stay. And it wasn't until the next day where they were going to Glencoe where they were going to film the Highland scenes, the battle scenes, that anyone came and picked him up. And I think he had a bit of drama with money. I think a lot of people got paid more, he got paid less. It was never a great experience for him. And I think he looks back on it and some of it where he sits there and goes, I think the Kurgan went away. He didn't want it to. I think he wanted to play it more seriously. But reliving it again, he said that the music for Queen, which apparently had done started off with Princes of the Universe because they had done Flash Gordon.
Yeah,
And they wrote one.
They went on to write several other songs because they really loved the movie.
Yeah. So they watched the movie, and that's how it inspired the rest of it. So originally it was Princes of the Universe. That was the original song, which I think Freddie Mercury wrote himself. Because each of them had wrote – so it was Brian May who did Who Wants to Live Forever. That's his song. So then they did more. So Clancy said that when watching it again, the Highland scenes were amazing. He thinks that they were just – to watch it again and to where he is in his life now, he goes, the Highland scenes are just purely amazing. He goes, some of later on, I'm just embarrassed for myself. really. You know, and they were amazed that these kids had never seen it. I mean, and that's what one guy said, with the fact that you could probably watch it on YouTube. And you can't get a lot of the, some of that stuff goes up and comes down on YouTube with Highlander stuff.
Let me ask you this then, because his kids are watching it for the first time. Did you, now you got a chance to meet his family. Did you get any feedback on what their impression was when they saw this for the first time?
Well, his daughter was born when he was doing Earth 2. So that was like 93, I think. Yeah, or 96, whatever. So she's about 20, and I think James is a few years younger. So he's about 14, 15. So the actual Q&A went for ages. I mean, it felt like hours. It might have been an hour, but in the end, people just ran out of questions. You know, it got to that sort of stage where people were like, yeah, no, that we're done. And he stayed, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like done, dusted, I'm out of here. He was definitely, and he did the voice of Mr. Krabs. He did the Kurgan voice.
I got to ask you, because I'm a big Star Wars fan, he has a link to Star Wars Clone Wars animated series where he does Savage Opress, which is the brother of a very popular character called Darth Maul. Did they talk about that at all?
No, not a lot of it went out, because nothing was, no one mentioned Carnival.
Okay.
No, they were pretty good on that one. I mean, they did sort of mention, I think, a couple of things of, you know, do you rather play villain? I think because he does all the Batman, Superman stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was more on the experience pilot. So as he said, you know, he goes, I didn't really do a lot. A lot of the time I was sitting around doing the sword fight stuff, you know, just practicing that with Bob, and who ended up being, you know, a friend for life. He said that. So, and I think he didn't really get along with Sean Connery. I think he said two lines to him the whole time. Did it. I think him and he calls him Christoph, Christopher Lambert. And because again, he turned up later to the one where we missed, you know, by a few days when they did it in London.
Right.
So
right.
Because it was so quite big. And I actually don't think they realize how big it was. And I don't think he realizes how big it is. And I think he now accepts it, that it's not going to go away.
That's cool. I've seen a lot of actors kind of do that. And Harrison Ford for Star Wars has recently come around on that side as well.
And the same with Carrie Fisher.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
She did the same thing too. And in the end you go, you know what? If it wasn't for the Kurgan, really. I mean, he's had a wonderful career. But if you were going, Shawshank Redemption and Kurgan, they're your two things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For people who aren't.
I have to ask, though. He's also has a great role in Starship Troopers. Did that come up at all?
No. It really was really Highlander stuff.
Gotcha.
Look,
okay.
I could have done about a billion things. But, I mean, I was so far up, and I was like, I'm not a massive one of questions. And I always think, no, well, my question be. I mean,
did you ask
I was wondering. I wouldn't. No, I didn't in the end. And then, I would have asked how heavy the swords work. They do look like quite – because they did – even though there were stunt doubles, I think a lot of that stuff at the end is them because it is so clunky.
Gotcha, yeah.
Of the way that they're doing stuff. And I think those swords were actually quite heavy.
So how did the evening end up then? You said the interview went on for quite a while. After the interview, what happened after that?
So and people walked out, and he walked out talking to people. So that's how – as I was walking out, his family were there, and I started talking to his son, and his son then saw the tattoo and was like, oh, my God, I've got to get photos of this, and then took all these photos.
That's
like,
awesome.
Oh, this is the greatest thing ever. So then he dragged me to his mother, Jean, who's so sweet, and she's lovely, and they've been married since – they've known each other for years. Like, I think they were childhood sweethearts. They've always had the one marriage. He's very protective of her. You know, being there, it was he talks about it a lot, you know, but not in that forceful sort of, you know.
I think it's wonderful that you talked to his family and struck up an awesome conversation, and, you know, and then that led to meeting his mother and meeting his daughter. That is awesome.
Yeah. So his wife's there, and so it's and then I didn't really talk to Rose. She was off doing sort of, you know, walking the other way. So his wife was there. So and then she's like, oh, has Clancy seen the tattoo? I'm like, yeah. So we got tracked again, and that's when I got that other photo taken.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
Which is, yeah, so it was one of those where my friend took it on his, like, you know, my iPhone's not exactly the greatest to take photos on. But, hey, look, what can you do? It's a wonderful thing. You always sit there and go, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that. But it didn't. It happened. And I couldn't stop smiling. I think I've got about 20 new age lines because of it. And, yeah, I mean, look, I have met some famous people in my life. I met Kiefer Sutherland. I do have a weird knack of doing that sort of thing, not because my father was an actor in Australia, but because I just happened to do it. I worked at Forbidden Planet. Famous people came in. And as I said, you know, I met Kiefer Sutherland years ago. And when I met Kiefer Sutherland, and this was in 93, he had done a film with Clancy Brown after Shawshank Redemption, where he directed his own film called Last Light, where he was on death row and Clancy again played the evil guard. And while I was sitting there having a drink with Kiefer Sutherland and some friends of his, I happened to say to him, so what was Clancy Brown like?
That's awesome. So I got to ask you, as you reflect back, after you met his family and you had that last picture telling, is that when they left and things kind of wound down here?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So he stayed and he talked to some more people and my friend got a photo with him. And so lots of people got photos, you know, the fans definitely got stuff signed. So he was definitely there for everyone. It wasn't in and out. So I think what happened is that during when they were talking about everything, because that's when I found out that it sold out in 12 hours, he said, well, they're going to do more screenings. And that's when they did one in Inverness. Right. And I think they came down and did it at the Prince Charles. And that's when he showed up by surprise. But Christopher Lambert was there because he was like, why isn't everybody else here?
Right, right.
He said that. And I think that's what's kicked off. So I think what happened is that they thought, well, we'll get Clancy Brown. Now, whether or not he was coming over or whatever, I know they were only there for a week because Jean was saying to me that they were there for another few days in Scotland and then they were leaving to go back. So I think that was to Inverness, and I think that's when he snuck down into London because I would have been there a couple more days. It was one that we missed because a girlfriend of mine's like, why don't we go to that one? And it would have been a day before Ireland.
Yeah, I think Russell Mulcahy was there, Christopher Lambert.
I don't know if Russell Mulcahy was. I know that not Heather, but the other girl was. God, when you do these things, everything goes out of your brain.
That would have been fun to see that one as well. But, man, when you
– you can YouTube it. It is on YouTube. All those interviews are on YouTube. So if anybody wants to have a look, some of the stuff that we did, I didn't get a really – I was too far up with the – and I didn't – it's hard because, as you said, if you go through going the phone too much, you lose that together, you know, that sort of intimate quality because right. You're looking for a phone. So, but some, I think the one in the Prince Charles with Christopher Lambert and Clancy Brown turning up, that is definitely on YouTube. So if anybody wants to check it out, just put
that's
it in.
The, you know, that's the Prince Charles Theater, which was actually the same theater that you and I and David went to go see the 30th anniversary of Aliens. So yeah,
I know, 1896.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, okay, that 1986 turns out and was a huge year for movies, and I think we're going to do a special about that. But I want to ask you one last thing as we wrap this thing up here. Being a Highlander fan like yourself, and the fans that are listening to this podcast, obviously you mentioned that you would like to go back do the inside tour of Eileen Donen. Is there any more Highlander bucket list visiting things that you would like to do that you haven't done yet?
Yeah. So New York, of course, you've got the bridge, which you've been to.
Yes.
What bridge is that?
That's the Castigere. I can't remember the name, but yeah, it's the one where he meets Castigere, but it's a famous bridge there.
And also the bar where Brenda's in. Yuck. So the actual library is somewhere in London, which actually I need to go back and look. So the library where she goes to find out about the signature,
yes,
and how old he is actually, I think, in London, which I can get back to you on that. But so, yeah, there are places. So you got to get – did you go to Glencoe? Because I can't remember if you
no,
did.
No, we drove through it. That was the one thing that I want to go back and visit, but we did not have time to do that.
I saw it in the distance because I think it was the Seven Sisters or the Three Sisters or some sisters. It was that was in the distance. But yeah, so that's the other one. So the actual battle scene, which is in Glencoe, and then there's the on the beach, yeah, which is another one.
Yeah.
That they're the two parts that I didn't get to go to. That's where I would like to go to. But there's also some Outlander stuff also. So this Scotland is like an iceberg. Literally, you think you've done it and then you don't know what's underneath. And it's true. You did it the right way. You did it. And I think next time, definitely get a camper van. And they say that. And apparently in Scotland, you can camp anywhere. It's not like spot you can't.
Yeah, when
you can pull off the road.
Yeah,
and camp.
They were everywhere. When Dave and I had a rental car with a GPS, and we were seeing camper vans everywhere, and it was fascinating to see that because there wasn't all these camping restrictions that we have here in the United States. When you mentioned New York, I had visited that bridge, and I had forgot when I did visit that it was in Highlander. It was the year 2000 or something, and I don't remember if I took a picture on it or not, but I want to go back there. I got to take my co-host Norman with me, and we got to reenact the scene with, you know, Connor and Castigere and have a little sip of some boom boom.
Yeah, that's one I don't know where. So that scene,
it's in Central Park somewhere, if I remember correctly, because I was in
Central
Park.
There's that one, yeah. But the actual scene when they're going back to, like, you know,
you mean the bar?
No, not the bar where he's drunk and he's got the duel.
Gotcha.
I need to look that up. I don't know where they filmed that, because that would be somewhere in England somewhere.
Gotcha.
It won't be France. It would be.
We both have to, you know, fill our bucket list, because there's so many beautiful areas that Highlander was filmed in, and me being a big fan of the TV show as well, I want to go back and kind of do a little more with that. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on Blood of Kings and telling us this story, because when we had put the call out to fans, we really wanted to hear a firsthand experience. So I am genuinely honored that you were able to share that with us, and so thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Any final thoughts you want to share?
No. Look, do what you want to do. Like, for anyone, if you think you can't do it, just go and do it. Do these things. Life is short. And trust me, you know, it's about experiences. And I never thought that, you know, so you go back a couple of years and be like, oh, I'm never going to the Highlander Castle. And I did it. And it's amazing. You know, it is things of this experiences. So, guys, go and do it. It's so much fun. And then you learn other things. You learn other histories and stuff like that. But, no, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm glad that I got to tell it that it was, meeting Clancy, bucket list, so many bucket lists done. But then again, suddenly more appear. So it's
I know exactly what you mean. That sound advice, you know, just do it and have some flexibility is what I would recommend too. Mm. You know, whether I do recommend a car next time, because then you make these unscheduled stops and you find these unscheduled adventures. So I want you to if people want to get a hold of you, maybe get some advice. I was wondering if you could tell our fans and listeners how they can reach you on social media.
Facebook. So Facebook, I've got an Instagram under Audrey Worm. That was my cat's nickname. So Audrey Worm on Instagram, or Erin Gill on Facebook. I don't know. I actually know what my email is, but if you look at it, I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and you'll see a picture of Kevin and I and David in the Millennium Falcon.
That's right.
So
you were very kind to let us drag you to the Harrods there in London, because up in the Disney Store area, they had the Millennium Falcon and the cockpit, and they had some great Star Wars stand-ups, and of course they had the game room, and you were kind enough to join us and take that picture. So that was awesome.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and I have friends of mine who still aren't talking to me about that. Yeah, they were just like, I can't believe you did that. I have a friend of mine like, that's so evil, that's not fair. So, yeah, so no, go do it. It's easy to find stuff. Like as I said, Google locations, there's so many websites that will give you the Highlander locations, exactly where they are. Again, be flexible, but map it out. And I said, you know, you've got it all there. You've got Airbnb. You've got these wonderful things. And you guys just go and do it. Do it. Do one of them at least once. But you know, it's amazing. And thank you so much, Kevin, for letting me be on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Aaron. And sound advice. And again, it was a wonderful experience to share your event there in Scotland. And thanks again for contacting me when I reached out to you about sharing your advice about where you'd went, and it got me even more excited for my trip. And again, thank you. And I'd like to thank the Blood of Kings fans for listening. And please, if you have any questions, if you plan on doing some, Highlander inspired travel as we did, please feel free to contact. Aaron, thanks again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Again, I want to thank my wonderful guest, Aaron Gill. It was awesome discussing her visit to Scotland here on Blood of Kings. And it was just, it just reminded me of my trip and the last two podcasts that you guys got to listen to and I got to recount and tell my story. It was just a wonderful bucket list thing to do, but also a cultural experience. And it was a trip of a lifetime. And I'm glad that she got to share that with you guys. But I also want to let you guys know, I want to give you a quick look at the other things that you may have missed here on the Fandom Podcast Network. We have some other great programming here. First of all, we have Culture Clash, which is our weekly show that I co-host with my buddy Kyle. It's our flagship show. We get together every week. We talk about the latest nerdy and geeky news. Please check that out so you know what's going on, because we just had a big show drop for Comic-Con. It was huge. There was so much to talk about. But we want to let you guys know, if you kind of want to see what's going on in the nerdy, geeky world, please check out Culture Clash Weekly. We also have Couch Potato Theater. This is something I am personally really, really excited about. This was Kyle's brainchild, and also I want to give credit to Norm for actually naming it this. This is our monthly review of our favorite kind of cult classic films that everybody loves. And a lot of us were at a certain age when these movies really hit home with us, and it's wonderful to revisit that. The first one we did was Kyle got together with John and Davis Grayson, and they talked about the 30th anniversary of Transformers. And they killed it. They did a great job. And as of now, today, we are on, August 6th. Last night, Kyle and Davis Grayson and I did one of my personal cult favorites for the newest episode of Couch Potato Theater, Megaforce. Make sure you check that out. If you're not familiar with Megaforce, please become familiar with it. Check out the podcast. It's going to be dropping soon. We're going to be doing that in two parts this time. We're going to be doing the first kind of retrospective, kind of talking about Megaforce, giving people an idea of how it affected us. We get into talking about the cast, the director, the filming location, some trivia. We talk about the toys, the music. Just getting everyone that's from maybe not familiar with Megaforce a little background on it. And also for people that are familiar with Megaforce, kind of a wonderful trip down memory lane. And the second episode, we actually did the commentary for Megaforce, which was begging to be done. It was when you watch the movie, you'll understand. It's cheesy, but it's fun. It brings back great memories, and both Kyle and Davis were awesome, and it was fun to share that experience with them. So check out Couch Potato Theater. We also have Fandom Flashback. This is another monthly show that we do where we look back on a favorite TV show property, where we revisit everything that was awesome about it. For example, the first one that we did G.I. Joe. We talked about the movies. We talked about the comics. We talked about the toys. The second Fandom Flashback we did was Highlander. We got Norm on there as well, and we talked about the movies, the TV show. We had a couple of great interviews, guest interviews from the TV show. And that also was the launching point, and that spawned Blood of Kings, the current podcast that you're listening to now that is dedicated to Highlander. We also do specials on the Fandom Podcast Network. We just recently did a great special on Star Trek Beyond, the new movie. And we also talked about the announcement of Star Trek Discovery, the new TV show that's debuting in 2017. And we give our thoughts on that and what might become of that show as well. So make sure you check out them. We're going to be doing some other specials as well. I'm going to talk to Kyle about maybe doing a special on Suicide Squad, because that's become a hot topic in fandom, and we all have different opinions about how we feel about that and the DC universe as it moves forward. And I'm just going to come out and say it right now. I'm going to drag my co-host Kyle and Norm and whoever wants to get into it. And it's kind of related to Highlander, meaning the year of 1986. 1986, when you look back, do me a favor, Google it, look back, you will see that it was a wonderful year for movies. And I will almost, now, you know what, I will argue that it is probably the best year for movies of all time. And I'm going to get in that later into the special that we're going to do on that, because Highlander came out. Obviously, we talked about the 30th anniversary of Transformers. Aliens came out. There was just some wonderful movies that came out. Top Gun. So that's one special I want you guys to look forward to. Kyle's going to have to do it no matter what. I'm sorry. Sorry, Kyle, if you're listening. Anyway, I just want to say that I want to thank all the listeners, and especially, again, thank everyone on the Blood of Kings Highlander fandom group Facebook page. You guys have been wonderful, sharing a lot of great information, scooping us on stuff that we didn't know. Really appreciate that, because you guys are on it. I want to let people know where you can find us if you're new. You can find us on the Fandom Podcast Network. Search Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play for Android users. We also have the Blood of Kings, as I mentioned, the Blood of Kings, a Highlander fandom group. It is a closed group. Just ask to join. We'll get you on there. And we also have a special Facebook group for you Highlander collectible card game fans. It's the Blood of Kings Highlander CCG collectible card game page, where we are talking about how to play that game and the history of that. And we just did a two-part podcast on the first edition, and we're going to be visiting the second edition in a future episode. Also, please email us at bloodofkingspodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find us at bloodofkingspod. Myself, Kevin, I am at Spartan_Phoenix, and Norman's on Twitter at Starfighter1701. And we also wanted to thank everyone that has left iTunes reviews. The current contest is now over that Norman was doing for the signed copy of the audio copy of the 2-CD set that Adrian Paul released called My Immortal Journal. We're going to be picking a lucky winner out of those people that did the reviews. And we want to say, if you do leave a review, whether it is good or bad, we will read it, and we want to thank you, because we want feedback as well. You don't have to leave a 5-star, but we do appreciate it. The more reviews helps people find us in the search engine up there in the matrix. So please leave a review. We really appreciate it. Final thoughts, I just want to say, on behalf of my co-host Norman, thank you everyone for listening, and join us again next time on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Blood of Kings. Norman, you're not here, but I am yelling out to you. I know you can channel it through the quickening, because that is the sensation that you are feeling. We are one. We are brothers. Goodbye, everyone. We'll be right back.